Welcome back to Graphene in Action, the official podcast series of the Giants Project. I'm Indra Altamirkova, project lead at Bux Innovation, and your host for today's episode. Joining me as always is my colleague Katie Basham. For those tuning in for the first time, Giants, short for Graphene Alliance for Sustainable Multifunctional Materials to Tackle Environmental Challenges, is a Horizon Europe initiative. We are working to develop eco-friendly, lightweight, and recyclable materials to solve real-world problems in sectors like automotive, aerospace, and energy. In our previous episodes, we've covered graphene production and its use in sensor systems and advanced composites and sensors. Today, we are diving into how graphene is transforming how we clean and desalinate water. Access to clean water is one of the most pressing global challenges. From industrial wastewater and emerging pollutants to desalination and resource recovery, advanced materials are playing an increasingly important role. Thanks to its exceptional surface area, chemical tunability, and mechanical strengths, graphene offers exciting new possibilities for more efficient, selective, and sustainable water treatment technologies. To discuss this, I'm joined by Paulo Marquez from University of Iowa, partner in Neutral4JS project, and two partners from the Giants project, Johanna Inrich and Ingrid Pinel from Lentech, and Simona Barretta from Iris. Hi everyone. Welcome to Giants Podcast. Very nice to have you with us here. I think we can start with very quick introductions from each of us. So the first question would be, could you tell us a bit more about your organization's role within your project and how you are utilizing graphene for water treatment? I think we can start with our external guest, Paula.
Here. Okay, so my name is Paula Martus, and I'm based at University of Ohio in Koshlo. I am actually the coordinator of the Center for Mechanical Technology and Automation Research Needs, which is our tema, within the Department of Mechanical Engineering. In our research group, we've been working with graphene-based materials for several applications. And one of our key focus areas is water remediation. Over the years, we have been developing all materials like lithium oxide, functionalize it with some polymers, for example, polyethylene anisole or other polymers with functional groups, which are very effective at removing heavy metals. Like, for example, mercury from water. Because mercury is one of our major problems here at the local environment in Abadi, because we have LEA. And more recently, we've taken a bio-inspired approach, combining these nanomaterials, European-based materials, with natural supports, like, for example, marine sponges, to make them more robust and easier to use in real settings. As part of the project where I am now working with, which is Neutral4JS project, this project is a Marie Curie staff exchange. So our main role is actually knowledge exchange. It's not really focused on research. And we work very closely with partners across Europe and also the Global South to share expertise and build capacity, mainly in these countries from the Global South. The research is just one piece, a small piece of that puzzle. In our case, we are looking at how to combine advanced graphene materials with nature-based solutions, like constructed wetlands, to create sustainable and adaptable water treatment systems for different parts of the world. So this is the major.
Thank you so much, Paula. Very nice to have you here and excited to hear more about Neutral4j's project today during our episode. Now I would like to have introductions from the Giants project partners, and maybe we can start with Johanna and Ingrid from Lendek.
Sure. Inga, also Paula, very interesting to hear your background. Maybe I can start shortly to also explain what Lendek is or what we do. So Lendek is a water treatment company. We're located with our headquarters in the Netherlands, but we also have some offices in other parts of the world. What do we do? I mean, as I already mentioned, we treat different waters. So we have a wide range of application where we provide technology solutions. For example, when we have saline water streams brine, or we look into nutrient recoveries, and we use also a wide range of technologies. So within water treatment, that could be, for example, membranes, ion exchange, etc. And also for us, we notice, because we work so closely with these applications, that there are definitely challenges where the current currently the industry also don't really have readily a solution. So for us, we call ourselves a bit like a technology integrator. So we use water treatment technology. For example, let's take a membrane, and then we integrate it in a system that we built. And we do that, for example, also from lab to full scale. So we can do feasibility studies here at Lendek, and then in the end, the goal is, for example, to have a full scale system. Now, a bit, what is our role within Giants? Again, talking about these challenges in water treatment, we often notice that these challenges, they concern, for example, certain applications. For example, talking about oily wastewaters, or when we have oxidants or chemicals in the water. And that's where it becomes for us interesting when there are new water treatment products developed, that we can also access these products and also fill in these gaps or these challenges in the industry. And specifically in Giants as well, Lendek, we can provide therefore also, for example, a design or like a demonstration of a new membrane product by, for example, building a lab system or a pilot system, so we can house a new technology, and we can also demonstrate then the performance on a higher TRL technology readiness. Maybe Ingrid, you want to add something to that, or if I covered most of the parts.
Hi everyone, I'm Ingrid Pinelli, so working at Lendek. So I'm an R&D engineer there for 5 years. Yes, Johanna already described quite well what we are doing here in our company, and then within Giants. Maybe what I can just add is the complementarity is quite nice between the different partners, and we work with indeed material experts, a bit like you, Paola, within Giants, that then, let's say, can bring the development to us, and then we use this to understand better what the added value of graphene oxide, so that it can really be applied to the gap that we are seeing now in the industry, and for which we can really develop this type of solution. That's really what we are aiming at being part of Giants.
Thank you both, Johanna and Ingrid. Very nice to have you here with us as well, and looking forward to our discussion. And now, I'd like to give the floor to Simone. If you could introduce yourself and also your role within the Giants project.
Sure. I'm Simone. I'm a chemist, and I work for IRIS since 2022. And work on the development of advanced water treatments. And so in the IRIS project, we Basically, our primary focus is the combination of the plasma discharge treatment that we are developing with the catalyst that are being developed by other partners in the Giants project. So the pulsed discharge plasma technology that we are developing is a treatment, advanced treatment for the decontamination of industrial and not only industrial wastewaters. And this treatment is designed to actively break down pollutants and contaminants through the in situ generation of highly reactive species rather than simply separating or concentrating in a small stream. So this technology is inherently versatile and can be applied to different use cases, including industrial wastewaters, as I was saying before. And we all can also treat complex water matrices, and we are basically focusing highly on the degradation of persistent compounds such as pharmaceuticals, pesticides, and PFAS. The flexibility of this treatment makes it suitable for both centralized and decentralized treatments. So we can integrate into existing water treatments, or we can be utilized as a module on, for example, an industrial, the premises of an industrial user. Within Giants, we are basically utilizing some catalytic materials that are introduced to enhance and accelerate the performances of the plasma-based process. Iris integrates such catalysts, titanium dioxide and iron oxide in particular, with the plasma treatment. Moreover, these catalysts are further enhanced by the addition of graphene, that is the main key point of our activities here. And the graphene is acting as a co-catalytic component that works in synergy with the existing catalytic materials and improves the reaction kinetics and the effective use of the reactive species generated by the PDP. This is our role and what we are utilizing graphene in the project for.
Thank you, Simone, so much. And also very nice to have you on board today. And so now basically we've heard about the what, and I think we can talk about why graphene. Graphene is often highlighted as a highly promising material for environmental and water-related applications, but that promise can sometimes feel abstract. So I'd like to dig a bit deeper. Simona, as you started talking about the water treatment, what's happening in Iris, if you could tell us a bit more, where else do you see graphene-based materials offering a clear added value? Like it could be removing emerging contaminants or maybe heavy metals.
So for us, from our perspective, the main challenge is the effective treatment of emerging contaminants, the so-called COEX. Our main focus are these contaminants because are difficult to manage with conventional technology such as the biological treatments, and especially at low concentration and in complex matrices, those contaminants are really hard to face. So in this context, IRIS develops and applies these decontamination technologies to actively degrade persisting organic pollutants. And rather than limiting their removal through separation processes. Within Giants, the graphene-based materials are not the primary focus of IRIS, but are a very valuable tool that is capable of supporting and accelerate the development of technologies designed to abate contaminants of emerging concern. The main effect of the addition of these contaminants is that the TRL of our technology, it's basically, it gets a very nice boost from the addition of graphene-based materials. And obviously, everything that is connected with it, so higher treatment throughputs, a higher level of mineralization of the contaminants. So from our perspective, the addition of these graphene-based materials is seen as a performance booster. And this is true in many different sense. So from the industrial and scale-up perspective and from the decontamination perspective. So our final aim is to achieve a better and more readily available application of advanced water treatments for the decontamination from contaminants of energy concern, like for example PFAS.
And indeed, as in Giants, we also have our industrial partner, like CleanTech, Johanna or Ingrid. What can you say about them? Like, how do graphene-enabled solutions compare with existing water treatment technologies in terms of performance, robustness, and operational feasibility?
There are plenty. We're talking about water treatment solution, but there are many technologies. So since we are also looking at membranes within the context of or the scope of this project, we can also maybe stick a bit more to the membrane. So the thing is that LandTech, we're working really on cases that are non-conventional. So it's really that we develop tailor-made solutions. So it's for applications that can be also very complex and tricky, and to which we need to really do a bit more in-depth investigation before to see where are the needs. And this is also, I think, why we managed to have a bit of an overview on where are there already installations and well established water treatment solutions or large-scale membrane systems that are already operating for decades and that are performing well and for which maybe then there is no really need for a new product to come on the market with added value. But there are also niche applications where we see that there's still some limitations to the technologies that are existing. And this is the case, for example, for the two use cases on which we are focusing, which are the oily wastewater, and also another use case on which we're working that is more requiring membrane to be more robust to harsh environment or oxidant, for example. So we are looking at graphene oxide here to bring or to improve these features on membrane treatment. So in the case of oil and water mixture, we want to take advantage of graphene oxide and to bring up the hydrophilicity of the membrane, so that membrane can perform better in this for this specific treatment. So then the idea is to develop a solution that can really bring strong added values on those gaps that we see are existing in industry. And this is a bit like Simone explained also for the PDP, then these are really performance related. So it's to add up features that currently may be a bit missing for those applications. And in terms of operational feasibility, that's also, we are not trying to reinvent the whole wheel with a new solution, but if there's some added value to a membrane, then it's also to make it, because we are integrating system and we are system builders. So we want to provide a solution where we use our membranes to then help our client to treat their water. So those membranes can, they maybe their composition change, but they don't need, the modules don't need to be redesigned. We could use also existing small treatment plants and then use these membranes in these treatment plants that are existing. So this is a little bit how, as an end user, we are approaching that and looking for in terms of performance and operational feasibility.
It's nice to hear the perspective from the Giants project. And now I'm very curious to hear how Graphene is in the Neutral4JS project, because what I understood that Neutral4JS project combines nature with graphene. So Paola, how do these high-tech nanocomposites support nature-based systems like constructed wetlands, for example?
We know that constructed wetlands are a fantastic low-tech solution for treatment water. And these wetlands rely on natural processes and are very sustainable. But they often struggle when it comes to removing specific pollutants, like the ones that were already mentioned here, the micropollutants and especially heavy metals, for example, when they are present. So what we doing in Neutral4JS is exploring how we can bring how we could bring in graphene-based nanomaterials to enhance that performance without losing the eco-friendly nature of the system. And for example, in one of our previous studies here in the group, we developed a graphene oxide polyethylenamide alginate composite, which is a kind of structure that is, how to say. So we functionalize the graphene oxide with this polyethylenamide. Then we stabilize it with alginates. So these are polymers that are eco-friendly. So we had this stabilized matrix. And then we tested this in real water conditions. For example, in seawater, because in seawater, and we were testing mercury, we have chlorine. So we had mercury is complexed with chlorine, so it's very difficult usually to remove mercury under these conditions. And in our previous studies, we saw that it was possible to remove more than 96% of mercury in real water environment, so a marine or weevil. And the structure of this composite stayed completely intact, which is very important. So by embedding these materials into natural supports, that's what we need to do. So we don't want to lose the great surface area of the graphene-based materials, but we want to keep them in a support in order then not to be dispersed in water. So While we are embedding these natural supports like marine sponges or plant-based media, we can turn parts of the wetland into active nanosinks for pollutants. So we have these porous materials that are natural bases. They are completely covered with the surface of these porous, necroporous materials are covered with our within basic materials. So it's a way to combining the best, let's say, the best of both worlds, with high-tech selectivity with low-tech nature-based systems to create more efficient and sustainable solutions. So in these wetlands that are like, let's say, passive environments, our main goal is to somehow create possibility to upscale the production of these nature-based supports with dripping materials in order to be possible to use this in direct ones.
Very nice, Paula. It's nice to have the perspective from the other project as well. And well, as Ingrid mentioned earlier, well, there are several applications that have been already in place for some decades. And now if we can look toward the future, let's say in general, the potential for this technology seems limitless. So let's imagine what a graphene-powered water sector might look like in a decade. Well, in Iris and University of Aveiro, you work with plasma graphene combo moving into the industrial wastewater. So Simona and Paula, if you could give us your point of view on this and maybe how it can be used for emergency water purification in disaster zones.
This could be a good combination for sure, because from what I know, the idea, or what I can think, is the idea behind the plasma graphene combo is to bring together the strengths of both the graphene basic materials, which are great at capturing specific pollutants like heavy metals, like I mentioned before, and the plasma technologies, like Simon already mentioned also, which are very effective at breaking down organic contaminants and disinfecting water. So I think this could be a powerful combination, especially for situations where you need fast, efficient water purification, like for example in disaster zones or refugee camps, with something that could be something that you can think of. And while this isn't something that we have currently doing under the Neutral 4GS project, I think it's a direction that we will really like to explore in the future, ideally through a project that could be focused on decentralizing or emergency water treatment condition solutions. This could be an added value for sure.
Yeah, I think that the combination of graphene-based materials and plasma processes, and let me just mention the fact that we are collaborating with Plantec, so we are basically trying to develop a synergy with separation technologies. So one thing that could be really, really interesting from the for example, extreme events perspective is the fact that maybe you can utilize separation technologies to achieve a very high level of purity of water, but maybe with the membranes that you are using, you are not able to remove the 100% of contaminants. So maybe the application of a plasma-based process with maybe a catalyst and graphene as a co-catalyst could be very beneficial in this use case.
Yes, Simona, as you started mentioning that your risk over breadth is LinkTech, but as I understood in LinkTech, you normally use a graphene oxide membrane, right? So if you could give us your perspective from the graphene oxide membrane in this sense, and also maybe how it can be used for the remediation of contaminated groundwater sources.
Yeah, maybe we can pick this up indeed, this question. In the context of micropollutants, maybe to pick up your last question. So the state of the art membranes, they're actually not able to remove micropollutants. So that's also what Simona mentioned, that usually like the treatment chain would be that you have a membrane that maybe removes like a larger organic compounds, like for example, oil, and then the plasma would remove anything that remains in the effluent, the same with other membrane technologies. However, maybe just as an interesting note, the material experts that are currently developing these membranes, also within Giants, they're also looking a little bit into additional properties that these membranes may have. So also to understand a bit, okay, do we have only size exclusion phenomena here? Or for example, do we have other properties? And this could be, for example, also absorption of micropollutants like pharmaceuticals or pesticides on a membrane. But this is, of course, also something to explore a bit more and to understand. But the main advantages, or like the main aspects that where we see an advantage really concerns, and Ingrid also mentioned this before, if we have, for example, emulsified oil, that if a membrane has certain properties, like just more lipophobic, then the membrane will not foul as fast, or will not foul, or will be more easy to be cleaned from that contaminant. And also, for example, the membrane property, for example, if it's very chemical resistant, that will also have a very strong impact on the membrane, on the lifetime, on So all these aspects, they play together a role on how to enhance or like improve the material.
Well, yeah, indeed. I mean, having different types of materials, both have some challenges, but I also, I guess, both of them, like cooperating together, can solve some issues or challenges that we have. And yeah, in this sense, I think that's why we also have the European cooperation, as we can see that thanks to this collaboration, there have been like some advancements in innovation, especially in advanced materials like graphene and some environmental technologies. This is quite classic and I think favorite question. How has the participation in EU-funded projects or like collaboration across research organizations, industries helped advance your work on improving water treatment solutions?
I think for us, the fact that Giants is a very big project. So we are indeed, I don't have in mind how many partners right now, but there are many, many partners. It's a very holistic approach within this project. So we have indeed the material experts, the end users, but we also have people that are experts in life cycle assessments, cost assessments. So it's very large. So I think in comparison to other projects that we may have that are more industrial, more with the client itself, here we get to see, we can see it all. So we have an overview that is quite complete. We see, we can have an understanding of the manufacturing process and everything it entails. So this gives us indeed a very nice overview on what is required for the development of these new products. It's also, for us, I think, important to stay up to date. And with such projects, it's actually great. We're very taking actively part in that. And we understand, as I mentioned before, what are the limitations that we currently see in industry and how these materials in development can fit those gaps. And this is really, I think, a very strong point of having this sort of projects there that we do not necessarily have in other some other part of our work.
Oh yeah, I also agree with the points that you mentioned, Ingrid. Simona, would you like to add your perspective in terms of the Giants project? How is it going for you?
Well, for us, for ISS, the main advantages, the main key points are the fact that basically we had the opportunity to collaborate with material experts that would be difficult to approach. To develop new catalysts. And so from our point of view, obviously, there is the benefit of improving our solutions, so our potential products for our customer. And going a little bit over the activities that we have undertaken under Giants, there is also the fact that we have established some collaboration and that may be followed up in future projects or in future commercial activities. So just for mentioning one, the materials, the catalytic materials for our treatment could be very well produced by Grafenia, that is one of the partners from the Giants project. So for us, it's a really nice opportunity to also collaborate with Lentec, that has a nice name in the water treatment fields, and to better understand how we can integrate with different water treatment system rather than staying just with our technology and hoping for the better. So this is our perspective for this.
Sorry, to add up to what Simone was saying, this the fact of collaborating with other end users to be complementary on the solution we provide, this is very important to us also, because this micropollutant that remains in the water after our treatment, often there are like clients that need to have the whole solution. So that's also, let's say, it's also networking in some way, but we are building partnership with other institute or other companies that we can. It's not just in the scope of the project, but then we can follow up on those partnership also later on.
Well, yeah. It is great to see the collaboration within the Giants project, but also beyond it, that basically you can complement each other and you foresee some future collaboration. And I think that's also the main goal of these European projects, that it opens some new doors for you. Do you agree with these points, Paula? How is it in the Neutral4JS project?
Of course, I agree with everything that was said about the European projects. I also was a coordinator of the RIS 1 head open in a different area, was working with Grafene, but for all the health applications. But for sure, that the European funded projects and it's valuable for advancing our work. But specifically reading this Magic Greece Data Exchange here with RGS project, I want to highlight that it's not so traditional project just for research, but it's for knowledge transference, and also it's like a SIP project where we know each other and we can apply for further funding and know each other. For example, I just want to highlight that we are, the coordinator is from Denmark, the Aarhus University. We had another university from Czech Republic, the Technician University of Liberec. We had two companies, Idrida from Italy, Águas do Ribatejo from Portugal, and we have different backgrounds, different, for example, Nabar, we are more dedicated to graphene-based materials. In the Republic of Czech, they also work more with membranes. So we are combined all our expertise, trying to help the Global South, the partners, which are from Thailand, Colombia, and Indonesia, where they had real problems with waters. And we have built within the project three case studies. And this case, we are working with source solutions, bringing the knowledge that we had together to approach these case studies that were defined in the first year of the project. We are going to drill the staff exchange to build solutions for wastewater, stormwater, gray water. For example, one of the one that is probably mostly at the moment more advanced is the case study in Highlands, where they want to treat the wastewater from hospitals, where they have pharmaceutical molecules in the water. And we are testing the graphene-based materials to have to absorb the type of materials. And of course, that the photocatalytic approaches that are also being developed not only here in Aveiro, but also in Czech Republic. And so bringing all this expertise is only possible under European funded projects. Additionally, I also like to highlight that within this consortium, it's also mandatory from the European projects, I believe, that we should share the best practices. We should navigate through regulatory challenges. And of course, they had also these discussions about the intellectual property and commercialization. So European projects open us the possibility to bring all these kind of players, stakeholders together. And we feel really confident that we are doing something that will have impact in the future. That's why European projects are so important for us.
That's great to see that you have such a sustainable consortium with expertise from different fields. And yeah, especially I'm very curious to see the results of these use cases that you mentioned in Global South. Like, very curious to see how you're going to finalize it and what results you're going to obtain. So yeah, hoping for the best. And yeah, as we discussed the water treatment solutions, applications, the difference between plasma graphene combo and graphene oxide membrane, to conclude, I would like to ask each of you if you could tell me what key challenges do you think still need to be addressed for graphene-based solutions?
Also, just to develop a product, bring it to the market, a membrane that does not exist in this way, or at least it's not on a commercial scale available, to actually understand all the advantages of this material and then also, being able to upscale it in terms of manufacturing and then also, have more data also on long-term operation. So to, transfer a bit the messages also then to the, to the field, to the industry, in this gaps, I would say, yes.
If I may add something here. From our perspective, there are basically two fields that need to be addressed for further adoption of graphene in these fields. So one is technical and is related to the achievement of stable performances over time and compatibility with different water matrices. So these are more, let's say, chemical problems, more like durability problems of the material. And this is something that I'm quite sure my colleagues, my chemist colleagues will able to face in the next year. So this is basically just a technical aspect to face. The other is for us a little bit more on the economical standpoint, because we need to take into account the fact that catalyst material is already costly, and the addition of a fin adds another layer, another cost to this figure. So we have seen a nice boosting performance, and this already is able to justify the adoption of graphene. What we need from the industrial standpoint is the possibility of finding this material with more availability to enhance our supply chain, because otherwise we are basically just binded to one company. So there is this aspect of this economic and the supply chain aspect that needs to be taken into account for us.
Paolo, any key challenges that you would like to add?
I completely agree what have been to what was said before. So I am also chemistry from my background. So I completely agree with Simon. There is a technical side where we are working pretty good things like long-term stability, selectivity, and also regeneration of materials. I think it's also very important. Materials can lose performance over time, so it's an issue that need to be addressed. There is, of course, it was already mentioned, the economical side. Even so that graphene performs really well, it still needs to be cost competitive with easy existing materials, especially in the market where budgets are tight and the solutions need to be simple and scalable. There is an additional layer, I think it's the regulatory challenge, because since we are dealing with nanomaterials, there are still a lot of uncertainties along approval processes, especially when it comes to environmental safety and long-term disposable. We need clearer framework and more standardizing testing protocols. I think this is being done within flagship projects. And looking to the future, it's also important that we focus on greener synthesis methods, using renewable feedstocks and designing materials that are easier to use or safely dispose of, so that we meet both technical goals and environmental responsibility.
Can I maybe just ask Bowers, though, when you were mentioning all those challenges from our industrial perspective, but something that also came to my mind is that when bringing a new solution on the market, it takes a lot of convincing to find also first references. So to have case studies that we can really use to prove to the clients for who the solution can be actually a good match, that this is indeed something that they can rely on. And that also takes this something that takes time, and it takes also quite some convincing to be able to obtain actually those long-term data that we really need to show that the solution is performant and it's really performant over this long duration.
That wraps up today's episode. A big thank you to our guests, Paolo from University of Aero, Johanna and Ingrid from Lentech, and Simone from IRIS, for showing us how graphene is helping to secure a more water-resilient future. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to our Spotify channel so you don't miss our next episode. Until next time, stay curious and stay connected.